We should look in the mirror, and when the enemy says you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, and gosh darn it, people don't like you, you should remind that image in the mirror that you are God's masterpiece. You are not some accident. You are not some evolutionary process that just happened to be because of reasons. You aren't nothing that created everything. You are the creation of the Creator. There is an intelligent designer. There's a God of everything who created everything, and He created you. And when He created you, He just didn't say, yeah, that'll do. He said, this is one of my masterpieces.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, August 23rd, 2026. Pastor Jeff is speaking. Today's message is entitled Beyond Myself, and our text comes to us from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And now here's Pastor Jeff.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, Lord, to lean into your word, to revisit this text again and again and again and again, so that your word will penetrate our hearts, that your word will become our thoughts, that our thoughts will become our actions and our words and our character, and that we can live a life beyond ourselves, that we can live a life beyond our own flesh, beyond our own will, so that your will can be done in each and every one of our lives, just as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in my heart. Let your will be done in the hearts of all your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This month, as you can see on the sign up or on the screen over here, the theme that we've been kind of trying to lean into, and this has been for the kids, it's going to be for the middles, it's going to be at the end of the month for the youth group, and it's been something we're doing in here for the next couple of weeks, is this understanding that we are sent beyond ourselves. And today what I want to drop into you, and the last time I was up here, we've been talking a lot about forgiveness and forgiving others and reconciliation and all of those things. And I just want to put a little asterisk on the end of those sermons that we were going through and say, also, don't forget that since God forgave you, you need to forgive yourself. Because if you're unwilling to lean into the grace and mercy that God has given you that allows you to forgive yourself, you'll never be able to lean into this idea of being sent. Because unforgiveness for others, while it destroys our own heart, unforgiveness for ourselves also destroys our own heart. So to quote a dear friend, Greg and Hillary Applequest from Omaha, Nebraska, Hillary specifically, they're the pastors of a New Covenant church out there. To quote Hillary, no shoulding on yourself. No shoulda, woulda, coulda. No shoulding. I should have, I should have, I shouldn't have, I shouldn't have. No shoulding on yourself. No more. Because God's grace has forgiven you, and now you can walk in that forgiveness. But sometimes we have to stop and say, God, thank you for forgiving me. Help me to forgive myself. Amen. Amen? Amen? We serve a God who doesn't shame us, and we serve a God who calls us. He calls us to go beyond anything you ever thought you could do. And there are three passages, three short parts of Scripture that we're going to look at today that I want us to unpack. And it's going to show us three things. It's going to show us who we are. It's going to show us the orders we receive now that we understand our identity. And it's going to show us how we have the power to do so. So let me ask you, the people in your lives, when you think of the people who are in your lives, think about those you care about and think about those you don't care about so much. Because if we're being honest, there are people we like a lot. There are people that sometimes we don't like so much. And yet we're still called to love them. We're still called to invest in them. We're still called to reach them. Brother Art and I had a wonderful conversation today about serving others. Others who actually, the way they act and the way they behave and the way they treat us, our flesh says, that person doesn't deserve any of my help. That person doesn't deserve anything. I shouldn't do anything for that person. That person is an ungrateful, blah, 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 blah. But yet God calls us to serve one another. God calls us to serve our neighbor. Not because our neighbor is so perfect and we should serve their perfection, but because they are broken with sin, hopefully saved by grace. If not, you may be, your service to them may be the only testimony they ever hear in their life. And so when we think about those people in our lives, the ones we care about and the ones we don't care about so much, I have to ask you this question. What's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to the neighbor you don't talk to if Jesus were to return tomorrow? What's going to happen to the coworker you can't stand being around, who's been mean to you, who you know is worldly, who you know has chosen a lifestyle that doesn't line up with what God has, and you know that and you see that, and you in your own heart for some reason have decided not to share with them? What happens if they get in a car accident on their way home from work? Is that on us? Is it on us to go into the world? I believe it is. But in order for us to step into that, we first have to understand where we are. See, you're here. And most of you I know well enough to say that you are already blessed with the gift of salvation. You have salvation through faith by grace. And for those of you who have littles and middles that have been back there the last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on this. And I think it's important that we focus on this for just a moment here. And this is Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And before we put it up, I've shared this story before. Way back when I was a wee little guy, we had FBI, Foursquare Bible Investigators. And we had the little sash that we would wear, and we'd get patches that we could tie on, you know, as you would memorize verses and stuff like that. You guys remember? Anybody remember that? Some of you were here long enough to remember that. Some of you were in there with me. Some of you were teaching it. And the very first Bible verse I learned and the very first Bible patch that I got was Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And it says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. And that Bible verse, those two verses, I memorized those two verses, and I held on to those verses, and I'm still holding on to those verses. And then sometimes I sit down and I read the Word of God, and I realize, wait a minute, there's a verse 10. I was so focused on 2, 8, and 9 that I didn't pay enough attention to 10. So verse 10 is where we're going to find out who we are. So let me tell you who you are. In a world so caught up in identity politics and all of these things, verse 10 is something that you all need to hear today. Because we live in a world where through the enemy and the world, they like to shame you. They like to put you down. They like to remind you of all the wrong you've done instead of encouraging you. What the Word of God does, it actually encourages us to be better, to be more. Why? Because when we remember the bad, we remember that God has forgiven you for that. God has forgiven me for that, and we're able to move forward. But then you think to yourself, well, how, me, not me, how can I be doing this? Well, let's read Ephesians 2:10 together. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I'm looking at, I don't know, about 50 masterpieces right here. When you look in the mirror, do you see God's masterpiece?
Amen.
Amen, Loretta. Praise God. I love it. We should look in the mirror, and when the enemy says, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, and gosh darn it, people don't like you, you should remind that image in the mirror that you are God's masterpiece. You are not some accident. You are not some evolutionary process that just happened to be because of reasons. You aren't nothing that created everything. You are the creation of the Creator. There is an intelligent designer. There's a God of everything who created everything, and he created you. And when he created you, he just didn't say, yeah, that'll do. He said, this is one of my masterpieces. You are a masterpiece, and you've been created new. And Jesus is the one that does the work in us. Obviously, we have a sin problem in this world. Sin has plagued humanity. But there's a remedy. And the remedy is Jesus. And when you come to a life in Jesus, what ends up happening is you go from something that was created very good, that's Genesis, to something that was poisoned by sin, that has been made new and returned to the factory settings of the masterpiece named Jason. The masterpiece named Amanda. The masterpiece named Cecilia. And all of your names included. Most people walk around with their head down in shame. Most people walk around with their head down in doubt, in worry, in anxiety, in fear, and in hurt, and in pain. And they look in the mirror, and you're disgusted with yourself. Who told you that? Who told you that you were no good? Who told you that you're not good enough? Who told you that your sins are unforgivable? Who told you that? That's not coming from God. I guarantee you that. The enemy will use people in your lives who love you, who care for you, who might even think they're helping you. And yet, there's a spiritual battle going on all around you all the time. And when you fall into the trap of believing the lies of the enemy, you forget that you are God's masterpiece. I'm grooving to Esther's cell phone ringing over there. For those of you online who can't hear it. You know, it's funny, we had a meeting once. Should we put up a sign that says turn off your cell phones? People know. Still a masterpiece, though. Still a masterpiece. That wasn't meant to shame you. That was just meant for us to smile a little bit, okay? Here's the thing. When you understand that you are God's masterpiece, it's a great place to be. Because all of a sudden, all that stuff you did, all that stuff you were wrapped up in, all those things of the world that had you, they don't matter anymore. God has set you free from that. Yet in your brain and in your heart, you keep going back to that. And thinking that that's what God sees when that's not what God sees. You are a masterpiece. But when I think of a masterpiece, sometimes I think of like an artwork, or I think of like something written by Bach or Beethoven or some sort of symphony. And I see the music sheets with all the notes and all of those things, you know. What good is a score of music if you don't set it up on the piano and sit down and play it? As masterpieces, if you were artwork, if you're in a museum and people are coming to look at the masterpiece, what good is it if it's covered with a blanket? All you see is the blanket, and you're told behind that is a masterpiece. Well, today, I want y'all to sit down at that piano. Today, I want you to take that curtain down and let the masterpiece be seen. Let it go into the world so people can say, hey, I remember you when, but look at me now. Right? And it's not what I did, it's what he did. It's not my ability, it's him working through me. Him first working in me and then through me. You see, that work, it doesn't just stop with God saying, you're my masterpiece, you're perfect. Okay, just sit there till I come back. No, no, no. Let's put verse 10 back up there again and read this one more time. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. That's who we are, and that's how he did it, so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. There's a purpose for your life. Your salvation is for more than your peace of heart. Your salvation is for more than your ticket to heaven. Your salvation is for more than just making me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Your salvation is for more. There is a purpose. He did great things for you. Amen? Christ did great things for you. What great thing can we do for him? Now, if we stay in this verse for just a moment more and we get back, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from him. So if we can't earn salvation, if we can't get it, if we can't grow into it, But we've received it, and that great thing that he's done for us, well, then we have to ask, well, now what great thing can I do for him? Well, we can be obedient to his word, to what he commands. And what's the greatest thing we can do through that obedience? Without boasting, even though we're masterpieces, you can tell others about him. You see, there is a charge on our life. You have been saved by grace through faith, not because you earned it, but because he gave it. And that's there so that we don't get to say, look at how good I am. Look at how good I am. Look at what I earned from God. Look at what I did, and God gave me this because I did this. No, 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 that's not what this is. This is God said, I'm going to do this, and he does this. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. And because he did it for you, and because he did it for me, now it's time for us to take it and move it forward. Now, your purpose in life is to minister to the world. So how do we do that? Well, why would we do that? I mean, the truth is that all of us, each in our own unique places, our context, where we're at in life, where you live, your neighborhood, where you work, where you shop, where you hang out, who you hang out with, that is your ministry. Because each of us can go to the world and tell the world. And each of us can reach people that others cannot. I don't move in your circle, per se. I don't live in your home, so your neighbor's not mine. But he is your neighbor. I don't work in your office, but they are your coworkers. And these are the people that you can reach that others cannot. And you need to understand that we're going after people not in like a marketing strategy or some sort of sales strategy to fill this place up. Oh, we got to reach 300 people at Beverly or God's not moving out. No. It's about reaching a lost world who's hurting, who's broken. And while we sit here by grace, saved through faith, not boasting because it was a gift, the gift didn't cost us. It cost him, his son, but it didn't cost us. And we have people in our lives that we need to take this gift to, and we need to go to them because we can reach them. And God has you somewhere where there's someone that he wants you to reach today. And that someone he wants you to reach, he knows that you're the one that he created to reach them. You know why? Because you're a masterpiece that he created with a purpose. Repeat after me. I am a masterpiece.
I have a purpose.
And that purpose is reaching others, to reach them for the right reasons, to reach them in the right way, and to reach them to the right ends. You can be more. Well, but at my age, or I'm too... I'm too young, I can't do this, I'm just little. Or I'm too seasoned. What a nice way to say that, right? I'm too retired, right, to do this, right? Look, you're not too old, you're not too young, you're not too tall, you're not too short, you're not too skinny, you're not too fat. To each in their own, you're not too tired, you're not too awake. You're not too hot, you're not too cold. You're a masterpiece with a purpose. And this is what Jesus commands us to do, right? Why do we need to be more? Why do we need to do more? Why do we need to reach more? Well, that's our second text for today. And it's because Jesus commands us to do it. That's why. When God speaks and God says, do this, are you ready to do this? Or are you going to sit down and try and lawyer God? Well, let's see, Lord. Let me check my schedule here. Well, you see, the first Saturday of the month, I can't be doing that. And, you know, then I got this, and then I got that. And I promise you, what we're talking about today, this going into the world and reaching others and understanding that you are sent beyond yourself, beyond your own ability, your own power, your own understanding, you realize that everything on your calendar is an opportunity to witness to the world. Your kids' sporting practices, you're talking with the other parents on the sideline while Your five-year-old is running around and getting too much pressure put on them because they got to go pro, right? They're five, okay? Chill out, parents, right? Let them have fun before you decide to make them a professional at something. But it is an opportunity, and God gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, but we have to recognize the opportunities that are at our feet. Jesus tells his disciples, this is towards the end of his ministry, right before he ascends back into heaven, and he says in Matthew 28, and I'm sure you've all heard this before, starting at verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is what we know as the Great Commission. This is Christ telling every single one of us that believe in him, that have received grace through faith and salvation, that gift that comes from God, knowing that it's not of ourselves, not to go around to the world and tell them how great we are, but how great Jesus is, how great the work that was done on the cross was. And we run into the first trap. The first trap when it comes to going into the world is the familiarity trap. We like our comfort. We like things in the box right where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be, and easy. We don't like to be confrontational. Somehow we've decided that people who have chosen to not follow Jesus don't need us to tell them to follow Jesus because they made their choice. But I'm sitting in grace and mercy. Wait a minute. If somebody hadn't decided to come to you, you'd be right where they are. And where's the gratefulness in your heart for whoever God used in your life to bring him into your life? The problem is we find so much comfort in our routines and familiar surroundings. And then we end up focusing only on the immediate needs of our circles. Oh no, I got to take care of this. And we don't go beyond this. Church, we are so much bigger than these walls. This church building is just that, a church building. It houses us, the church. You are the church, and you have been called to get out of your cozy armchair. You're supposed to get off your favorite spot on the couch. You're supposed to put down the remote control and stop binge-watching shows. We're all guilty of it in a moment of time, right? But it can't be the way you live your whole life. At some point, you got to turn off the TV. You got to go outside, right? If you don't even go outside, you're going to miss out on a walk in the park. You're going to miss out with meals with friends. You're going to miss out on a meal where you make new friends. And those new friends you make, you get to plant seeds of what God wants, what God has done for you in their lives. You miss out on a view from a mountaintop if you're unwilling to go for a hike. There's a show, Frasier. And the dad and him, they went camping, and Frasier was kicking his can the whole way there because he didn't like camping. You know, for him, camping is a hotel, five-star hotel with suites with adjoining rooms, you know, that sort of thing. That's his idea of getting out. And his dad gave him a hard time. He says, when I brought you as a kid, I was trying to show you nature. And he says, yeah, but I was reading these books, and these books were all about nature. And so he takes him camping, and instead of him hiking and exploring and seeing nature, he's sitting inside reading about nature. Turn off the TV and get out there and live life as a disciple of Christ, because you have been called to go and make disciples. That cozy armchair is something that will hold us back if we're not careful. But once we realize that we need to get out of that armchair, that's when we run into our calling and we understand that we are called to go into the world to make disciples. And that brings what I like to call divine disruption. Because God's purpose is so much bigger than our own comfort. God's purpose for your life, you are a masterpiece with a purpose. And that purpose is so much bigger than our comfort. And he calls us to look beyond ourselves, right? If you were a seed that was going to become a giant oak tree, well, we can't leave that seed in the little pouch. We got to put it in the ground. And as that seed begins to grow, what happens? That seed is destroyed. The outer shell of that seed completely destroyed, completely transformed into a giant oak tree that grows in two directions, by the way. And we need to be people that grow in multiple directions. We grow up and out like a big tree, right? The part we see going into the world, reaching out with our branches to share the fruit of the Spirit of God in our life and to help it fall upon a world that needs it. But at the same time, we spend time with God, we spend time in the Word, and our roots grow down into the Word of God. Church, we need to be growing in two directions. Rooted in the Word, and up towards the Lord and out towards others. I guess that's three directions we're growing in. But God has designed us so that we can do that. It's a purpose for the seed to be planted, to break open, to grow into something much larger and much more fruitful. You are seeds. You are masterpieces. Being sent beyond ourselves according to God's word is what we need to understand, and we need to embrace this calling in our life. And we are sent as we are commissioned, and the commission comes from the King of Kings. Well, some youth leader told me to go out and hand out tracts in Pasadena at the Rose Parade, you know, and we did it. It was just some leader. Your boss tells you when to show up to work every morning, and you do it. Jesus says, now go into all the world, and for some reason we're not going into the world. You know, in the box down there, there's a whole bunch of names. And a lot of you wrote names on that paper. And you put those names in this box. And some of us here as a staff, every couple of days when we're here, we pray over that box. I think of that box constantly. And while I don't know all the names that are in there, I know the names I put in there. And I know the faces of those who are putting names in there. And I pray for you. And I pray for those names. And I pray for opportunities to be able to go, because Jesus, in his authority, has commanded us. Matthew 28:18. All authority in heaven has been given to me. Jesus gives us the supreme marching orders. Your boss tells you to do something, you do it. All right, let's put up the sign. Please turn off all your cell phones. With all authority, Jesus sends us. He's the king issuing a royal decree. And when the king speaks, we do. When your boss says do it, you do. When your wife says do it, you do it. Right? We need to understand that Jesus is sending us. And he's sending us with his authority. And to what ends is he sending us? He's sending us to the ends of the earth. All nations. It's not about local outreach. It's not just about your house. Your house is important. And that's where you start. But it's about your house. It's about your neighborhood. It's about your city. It's about your state. It's about your country. It's about the whole world. And there's a purpose in your life as God's masterpiece. And that purpose is the mission. And the mission that God has given you. Everybody say, I have a mission. Man. Next Sunday, we're going to have espresso for everybody right as they walk in. Wake y'all up. And say, I have a mission.
I have a mission.
And that mission is to make disciples. That mission is to go into the world and make disciples. Not because you're the greatest disciple in the world. Not because you got it all figured out. Not because you're not going to sin ever again. Not because you're never going to make another mistake. But because that's all the authority on heaven and earth was given to Jesus, and that's the mission he's given you, to make disciples of all nations. And you know, it's awesome because when you think about what that means, making disciples, when you think about how you go and you teach, it's not about making Jesus believers. Read your word. The demons know and believe in Jesus. It's about going into the world, not making converts, but followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, students of Jesus. And we do this as students of Jesus. I don't want anybody to be a disciple of Jeff. I don't want you to copy and paste Jeff into your life. Jeff's over here trying to copy paste Jesus into his life. And I want to copy-paste Jesus into your life so that we can copy-paste Jesus into other lives. This is what we've been called to do. And in order to do that, we have to go out, and we can't just show and talk. We have to teach. And the idea is this. Imagine like a tradesman. You know, you got this carpenter, not Jesus from Nazareth, but another carpenter, right? Someone today. And he's doing the job of carpentry, and he's a master carpenter. Everything is perfect, and he has an apprentice. Well, that apprentice is there, and he's watching, and he's watching, and he's watching, and he's watching. But at some point, the master craftsman has to let him try, has to let him do it, has to let him experience what it's like to turn on the saw and cut that wood, to measure, to get it right, to put it together, to be able to step back and say, not only did I watch you do it, but now I can do it. And then that growth and that apprentice someday will be also become a master craftsman. And the process repeats, and it repeats, and it repeats. And that's what discipleship is. Us learning from Jesus, learning to obey, learning what he wants, learning what he expects, and then taking all of that and going into the world to do the work that he has done. Just like his word tells us. We have to be able to replicate what Jesus has done in going and finding the lost and taking it to them. You know, discipleship is about guiding others to become mature followers of Christ, to learn how to lean into God in the hard times, to learn how to glorify God in the good times, to learn how to glorify God in the hard times. We must become mature followers of Christ who can in turn make more followers of Christ. Now, how do I do that? I'm just me. I don't know nothing. I don't have seminary. I don't have Bible college. I don't have this. You know, whatever your excuse, forget about it. Because there's no excuses. Well, but I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. We sang it today. What are you going to tell people? Well, you tell them, I believe in Jesus. You tell them, I believe he is the Son of God. You tell them that I believe he died and rose again. And you tell them that I believe he paid for it all. And you tell them that I believe he's here now, standing in our midst with the power to heal, the strength to forgive. You're all sitting here in this room, and I know most of you, right? So please forgive me if you're not in this category, but you're all sitting in here in this room basking in the glory of salvation, sitting and walking in the peace and the grace and this life that comes with walking with Jesus. And your neighbor's miserable and hurting and broken. The atheists hate Christians. Not because they hate God and don't think God exists. It's because they say, if you actually believed what you said you believed, you would never stop telling people about it. Yeah, it's not a feel-good message. I'm calling you out. Deal with it. I don't know how, Pastor. I don't have the strength. Hey, guess what? You don't have to. God does. And the promise of the Holy Spirit that came in Acts chapter 1, and this is the last verse we're going to look at today, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You are not being sent out on your own strength. You are not being sent out to figure it out. You are being sent out with divine power. Say, I am a masterpiece. I have a purpose. I'm being sent with divine power. The Holy Spirit equips us, guides us, and empowers us for the task. You have a role to be a witness. Our testimony in both word and in deed is crucial. Talk is crucial. Take it to the world because you have the power. You know, the Holy Spirit is like our divine team, right? It's not even like one person helping. It's a whole team of people around us through the Spirit that God gives us. And he gives us that role to take it out there. Think of someone who's been rescued from a dangerous situation. I've heard people talk and tell stories about almost getting into a car accident. Ooh, I almost died. You should have seen it. And go on for hours about it.
Nothing actually happened. It's all imaginary and what could have happened, right? And you have no problem sharing that. If I were to ask you who won the big game last week or who's going to win the big game tomorrow, you guys could probably go on and on about stats and who's hitting better or throwing better or catching better or this, that, the other. I mean, everybody's doing fantasy football right now. It's a fantasy. You know what's not a fantasy? The fact that God has called you to go out into the world, starting in Jerusalem, then in Judea, and then in Samaria. And no, I'm not selling tickets to the Middle East. Jerusalem is our home. Samaria is our city. Judea is our city, our state, your office, your workplace. Until ultimately reaching the furthest corners of the earth. Well, but I'm just one person. What can I do? How can I have impact on this world? I'm only one person. Well, if you imagine a nice calm lake, just glassy. And you take a small little pebble and you throw it out into the middle of the lake. It hits the middle of that lake. It starts with this tiny little ripple. And if you stand there long enough, that little ripple will reach the shore. One pebble at a time, one ripple at a time, and the entire world will feel the impact of you living out your life as a masterpiece with a purpose who's been empowered to go into the world. Embrace the fact that you are being sent beyond yourself. Have a mindset from this point forward that will overcome the fear and hesitation of talking to people about Jesus. Well, but if I talk to them, they might not like me anymore. If the world doesn't like you, you're just living out the beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. If the world doesn't like you, it's because they see Jesus in you. And when the world sees Jesus in you, some of them will hate you. And then something bad will happen in their life. And guess who they're going to come running to? The one they saw Jesus in. That could be your purpose. You have a purpose to embrace this. Oh, it's so hard. Stepping out is so hard. Think of the disciples in the boat. There's the storm and it's a ghost. And Jesus is like, no, it's me. Oh, no, we're afraid. Come on. In spite of fear, Peter got out of the boat. And we've talked about that before. You got to get out of the boat. No matter how much fear, no matter how much he was afraid, Peter's faith still allowed him to jump out and go beyond his fear, being dependent on God. We need to move into a place where not only are we understanding and embracing this sent beyond ourselves mindset, but we begin to build a dependence on God. Realizing our limitations. I have limitations. I'm a masterpiece. I have a purpose. But I also have limitations. But the Holy Spirit doesn't. And when you're sent by God, you don't need to worry about how you're going to make it happen. God's going to do it. You just got to step into it. Identify the beyonds in your life. You know, who are the people that are beyond your reach? How can you help reach them? It could be by praying. It could be like learning a new language. It could be by going into a different city. You know, think about the different people God's calling you to reach. God's bringing someone onto your heart right now. I know he is. As I prepared this, he brought multiple people into my mind. So I know he's bringing somebody onto your heart right now. And those people that he's bringing onto your heart, how do we step out of our personal comfort zone for God's glory so that they too can know him? So that they too can say, I am saved by grace through faith. That I can't boast about this. But I can walk in his mercy and I can live as a sent person. There are different kinds of walls around us and others in life. There's walls of social status, language, past hurts, right? There's walls of shyness. There's walls of whatever they may be. Dodger fan, Angel fan. Well, I'm not going to witness that Angel fan. I'm not going to witness that Dodger fan. I'm not, you know. Now that LeBron's gone, we can pray for the Lakers again. But that's a different story too, right? But the idea is that there are people out there that we need to reach and we need to understand
that as God's masterpiece, with a purpose, with divine orders from God, that we need to get out of our comfort zone and live as sent people. We're not meant to stay within ourselves. The work of the ministry isn't necessarily done in here. The ministry is done outside of here. And while today some of you might be feeling like I'm beating up on you for not going out and telling people about Jesus, look, I'm not telling you to become a Jehovah's Witness and knock on everybody's door. I want you to be a witness for Jesus and knock on everybody's heart. There's a difference. We need to go beyond ourselves. You need to pray for opportunities to be sent. You need to be open to God's leading, even when it's uncomfortable. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't like that. I don't even like that person. I technically, Lord, forgive me, but I hate that person, right? We got to get past that stuff, right? Because if somebody who loved you enough to tell you about Jesus did that, you don't know if they hated you too. Because sometimes, man, I don't really like you, so I need the love of Jesus to just like you. That's because we're family. And we ride that family sort of journey together with the ups and the downs and all of those things. But pray for opportunities to be sent. Be open to God's leading, even when it's uncomfortable. Begin to share your faith with boldness and love. Support those who are already actively ministering beyond themselves and become apprentices to those who do go out. And watch how they do it. Learn from them. And then do it yourself. I like to think of a ship leaving a harbor. Pastor Andy, you can come in now. I like to think of a ship leaving a harbor. It's a significant step. Nancy and I were in San Diego last week. We were there for a wedding, and we were walking through Seaport Village. I was looking at all these beautiful boats in the little marina right there. And one of them just had a big sign on it. This thing was giant, man. I mean, who knows how much this yacht thing cost, but it said weekend fun on it. And I thought to myself, man, I don't have enough money to ride a little paddle boat out there. And this guy just has this million-dollar thing sitting there for the weekends. Well, good for him, you know? But here's the deal. As God's masterpieces, with the purpose, with the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit working through you and the commission that God has put on your life to go into the world, don't be a giant yacht that just sits at the dock. It's time for you to turn on the boat, pull out of the marina, and sail out into that vast ocean. It might seem scary, but that's your purpose. A ship's purpose is to sail the ocean, not sit at the dock. A disciple of Christ's purpose is not to just sit in church, but to go into the world. So my prayer for you today is that we can hold on tight and remember that Christ said it very clearly, go, but don't worry, because I'm with you to the very end of the age. Father, we thank you that you send us. We thank you that this morning you have put people on our heart. There's names and faces that are coming to our minds right now, Lord, that you are nudging us to minister to. That you are nudging us to go to and to take you to them so that they too can have the peace that comes from grace, that comes from your cross, that we get to walk in daily. So Father, as we begin to sing this song, help us to know that we are your masterpiece, we have a purpose, that you're sending us, but you don't send us alone. You give us the power through your Spirit to reach a world that needs to know you. Father, thank you for those names coming onto our hearts right now, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you just give us the boldness to speak to them. That you give us the opportunities and that we don't let those opportunities go by. Help us to raise anchor, Lord, and sail out into that giant ocean of lost souls that need to know you. Forgive us, Father, for moments that have come that we haven't stepped into when you had ordained a moment for us to share and we feared away or for whatever reason we didn't do it, Lord. And just help us to step into your commissioning upon our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This is the day
that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it.
God bless you, everybody. Amen.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bb4square.org. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, check out the live stream here on YouTube. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.